Loved ones and friends gather at the gravesite. Maybe someone shares a fond memory about the deceased. A few verses from Psalm 23 are recited. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. A human life has ended. What happens to us after death? Is there hope for the dead? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Sometime early in life, we discover that all physical life eventually dies. At some point, all of us confront our own mortality, but we push that reality into the back of our minds until we are forced to face it again when someone we love is no longer here. Many times it's only at funerals that we wrestle with the questions of, what is the purpose of life? Is there any eternal meaning in life? And what happens to us when we die? Acceptance of the theory of evolution has left many people believing that this temporary chemical existence is all there is. But when we look at the complexity and design of nature, it becomes apparent that there is a creator. And for Christians, this creator of all things has given us the Bible as an instruction book about life. In the book of Genesis, it states that God is grieved because of all the suffering and evil he sees on earth. All you have to do is pick up a newspaper or turn on the television to see the bad news of war, crime, abortion, hatred, broken families, and racism that permeates the world around us. You and I suffer from that every day. This isn't the world the Creator designed for us. The Bible reveals that God created the first human being, and Adam became a living soul. But humanity's parents chose to live life by their criteria instead of God's. The result was messed up lives and eventual death. At Genesis 3:17, verse 19, God told the first humans, "Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." The bad news is that all human beings have chosen ways that lead to death. The Bible calls these ways sin. All have sinned, and death awaits all of us. Now, the good news is that the Creator God didn't create humanity, then allow us to choose the slavery of sin without supplying a way of deliverance. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." God didn't create this mess you and I live in, but he is the only solution. The suffering and death in our lives is a direct result of humanity's total disregard for God's instructions of life. Just because human beings have set in motion the causes of our own deaths doesn't mean God will change the rules so we can live. Instead, he sent his only son to become flesh, live a sinless life, and die for us. In this way, God's law of life isn't compromised. The penalty for sin is still paid, and mercy can be given to the guilty. Now, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, get one and follow along, because you want to hear what we're going to talk about today on the Good News program, The Hope of the Dead. In the ancient Old Testament book of Job, Job asked the age-old question, if a man dies, will he live again? To discuss this question, as well as other important questions concerning what the Bible teaches about life and death, we're joined today on Good News via telephone hookup from Minnesota by Gary Black, a pastor in the United Church of God. Gary, it's great to have you on the program.
Glad to be with you today.
You know, before we discuss what happens to us when we die, let's talk about this incredible gift of life. You know, why did God make human beings?
Well, that's an interesting question. Many great thinkers and philosophers and theologians have asked that question throughout the ages. And really, the knowledge of our purpose in life can only come from the one who made us, and that's God. And God does reveal that purpose in the pages of the Bible. In fact, right at the very beginning, in Genesis 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, And so of all God's creatures, only mankind has been created in God's image. Unlike the animals that live by instinct, man's been given the capacity to reason, make decisions, plan, communicate like no other creature. And we're different from the animals. God has made us differently and given us a different purpose. That purpose that he's given us is that we can live for eternal life. The reason that we have life today is to prepare us for eternal life in the future.
But why then do human beings die?
Well, the simple answer is because we are physical, mortal beings. It might surprise some of the listeners who have been taught that there is an immortal component within us. But God's word says that we simply don't have eternal life yet. To go back to the very beginning again and see in Genesis chapter 3, we read the story of Adam and Eve and how God gave them a choice between two trees, the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God gave them a choice, and the tree of life represented the willingness to obey God and receive eternal life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil represented their choosing for themselves right and wrong. And as we read the story with Satan's influence there, Adam and Eve chose the wrong tree. They chose to reject God and choose for themselves what was right and what's wrong. So that very decision led to death. And God, as you read earlier, informed them that the sweat of their face they shall eat bread, and dust they are, and dust they shall return. So basically, because of sin, we've heard the expression, life is hard and then you die. That is because of sin. So death came because of man's choice to rebel. The wages of sin is death, and we've all sinned. But God has another plan, a way to redeem us from that death and give us eternal life. But really, death is not God's desire for mankind. We're here today to prepare for an eternal life.
Do you have an immortal soul? That's an interesting question. What does the Bible say happens to us after death? We'll tackle these questions next. But first, we want to tell you how you can get your free copy of What Happens After Death. And then we'll be right back.
What happens after death? This is one of the great questions of life. What happens when we die? Is death the end of human existence and consciousness? Or do we continue in some other place or state of being? Do we go to a place of everlasting reward or eternal punishment? Will we ever see our deceased loved ones again? Is there somewhere you can go to find these answers? Yes, there is. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, What Happens After Death. Find out the astonishing, true biblical teaching about life after death in our enlightening 64-page booklet. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. All material on this program is provided as a public service by the United Church of God, publishers of the Good News magazine. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back to Good News Radio. We've been talking with Gary Black, a pastor in the United Church of God, about what the Bible teaches concerning the hope of the dead. Gary, before the break, you were talking about the mystery of death. Most religions teach that there is some sort of afterlife and that human beings have immortal souls. Now, most Christians assume that that's also what the Bible teaches, but does the Bible teach that we actually have an immortal soul?
Well, there's a great amount of misunderstanding about death. It's caused by confusion over this issue of the immortal soul. The Bible certainly teaches us about the soul, but unfortunately, most people's understanding about the soul doesn't even come from the Bible. Most people consider that they have an immortal soul, some kind of spiritual essence that cannot die but just continues after death in some kind of other form. But the phrase immortal soul never appears in the Bible. It's nowhere there. and where it came from. Basically, the idea of the immortal soul came from ancient Egypt and Babylonian religion. It was picked up by Plato, who taught that the body has an immortal soul and it separates at death. In fact, if you read in the Jewish Encyclopedia, an article entitled Immortality of the Soul, it talks about that. Nowhere is it expressly taught in the Holy Scriptures. It came from Greek thought, chiefly from the philosopher Plato. So we can go all the way back and see where it came from. It came from extra-biblical sources. Go to the first place it's mentioned in the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
It's the first place soul is mentioned, right?
Yes, it says, The Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The word there is nephesh. It means a breathing, living creature. And in verse 21 of chapter 1, it actually refers to the animals as well. God created the great whales and every living creature. That is nephesh, the same word. So in the Bible, it doesn't refer to an immortal essence in man. Interestingly, the first recorded lie in the Bible is in Genesis 3:4, where the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." God had said you would, and Satan said you won't. So it was the first controversy in the Bible. Ezekiel 18, verse 4 says, "The soul that sins shall die." And it repeats it again in verse 20. Even Jesus Christ taught that. In Matthew 10, verse 28, it says, "And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell."
Let me ask you this, because we're talking about the soul being immortal, so it doesn't live forever. Now we look at, of course, in Christianity, there's the discussion and the belief that we are redeemed. In other words, we are bought back from death. So what is redemption? Explain redemption. That's a very religious-sounding word, but explain what that means.
Yeah, it is a very religious-sounding word. But without that, without redemption, there's simply no hope for the dead. Because mankind rejected God's way, we simply have to die. And redemption means deliverance from some evil by payment of a price. That's the way the New Bible Dictionary describes it. So redemption is the purchase of mankind for price. And the Bible shows us, John 3, verse 16, a very familiar scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life." So we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And this was God's plan from the beginning. Revelation 13, verse 8, talks about the Lamb, Christ, the sacrifice for our sins, the Lamb being slain from the foundation of the world. So God's original purpose was to create a plan of redemption for mankind so that we could live life eternally.
Okay, so now we go back to a question we asked at the beginning of the program, the age-old question that Job asked. If a man dies, shall he live again? What is the hope of the dead?
Well, the hope of the dead is the resurrection from the dead. According to the Bible, the only hope for eternal life is through the resurrection from the dead, and God reveals in Scripture that the dead simply await that resurrection.
Okay, when does this resurrection take place?
Well, that's interesting. If you look through Scriptures, you find that there have been many misconceptions of the resurrection throughout the ages. 2 Timothy 2 talks about, Paul talks about people straying concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection's already passed. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he talked about how some say there is no resurrection. But the Scripture clearly shows the resurrection takes place at the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. In 1 Thessalonians 4, and verse 13 through 18, Paul writes, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Paul refers to the state of death as being sleep or unconsciousness. It says, "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so will God bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." And verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So at the very return of Jesus Christ, the resurrection takes place. Those who have died in Christ, those who have been faithful to him. In 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about that as well. 1 Corinthians 15, referred to as the resurrection chapter, verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming." So the resurrection takes place here. Those who are Christ's takes place at his coming. And verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So all those scriptures point to the resurrection taking place at the very return of Jesus Christ.
So when Paul talks about sleep, does that mean that people who are dead, so if someone dies today, that they don't go to heaven or they don't go to hell or they're consciously tortured, but they are in a state of unconsciousness?
Oh, absolutely. Paul refers to it that way. He talks about in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Even in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, it talks about the dead knowing nothing. So the dead actually are not aware of the passage of time or any events at all. They simply await the resurrection, the return of Christ.
You know, that can be very comforting to people who keep waiting for some kind of word from someone who's departed to tell them they're okay, or Uncle Joe, who everybody thinks is in hell screaming in pain forever and ever, to know that right now that's not happening at all. The resurrection from the dead is the great hope of those who have died. But did you know that the Bible predicts more than one resurrection? You don't want to miss this, so hang on. We'll be right back.
What happens after death? This is one of the great questions of life. What happens when we die? Is death the end of human existence and consciousness? Or do we continue in some other place or state of being? Do we go to a place of everlasting reward or eternal punishment? Will we ever see our deceased loved ones again? Is there somewhere you can go to find these answers? Yes, there is. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, What Happens After Death? Find out the astonishing, true biblical teaching about life after death in our enlightening 64-page booklet. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. All material on this program is provided as a public service by the United Church of God, publishers of the Good News magazine.
We've been discussing the hope of the dead with Pastor Gary Black. Gary, let's go back to the concept of the resurrection. In the last segment, we read from the New Testament about the resurrection from the dead that occurs when Christ returns. But the Bible actually talks about more than one resurrection, doesn't it?
Well, indeed it does, and I'm sure many of the listeners have never been taught about this marvelous truth. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 through 6, we see that. Revelation 20, verse 4 starts off, it says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark in their foreheads or on their hands." And notice it says, "And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So those who were faithful, it says, would live and reign with Christ 1,000 years, as we've already talked about, be a part of this first resurrection. But notice verse 5, kind of a parenthetical statement here. It says, "But the rest of the dead," in other words, those who had not been a part of that first resurrection, "the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished." So the rest of the dead didn't live until after the first resurrection. It says, "Blessed and holy is he who is part of the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power." So there is the concept here of another group of people that are part of a second resurrection that takes place after the 1,000 years are finished. Going down to verse number 11 in Revelation 20, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." In other words, there seems to be so many here that there doesn't seem to be room on earth for them. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works." So we see the first resurrection included those who were Christ at his coming, who died in Christ. But what about those who never knew Christ, who never followed him? These people are resurrected after 1,000 years, what is termed a second resurrection, to a physical life and a chance to live according to what's written in the books. In Revelation 20 here, those books refer to the Bible. And everyone will get a chance to learn God's way and to choose to live his way and to follow him. Even those who never heard the name Jesus Christ, they will be resurrected and given an opportunity for eternal life. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 tells us that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance.
Of course, we know that not everybody does, but that's part of what we learn through this second resurrection. And, you know, you read there in Revelation where it's called the Great White Throne. I think many Christians have heard of the Great White Throne Judgment, but they don't realize that this is actually a second resurrection from the dead.
That's right, it is. And Jesus referred to this second resurrection. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41 and 42. His teachings here is very interesting. He reveals that people who we might not have thought would be resurrected will indeed have a chance. Notice verse 41, it says, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. And the queen of the south will rise up in judgment, and with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." So the queen of the south and the men of Nineveh are going to be resurrected. They certainly weren't Christ's at his coming, part of that first resurrection, but they're part of the people who will all have a chance and opportunity for salvation. Now, there's another place where Christ looks forward to a time when those who didn't have their chance will have a chance. Matthew 11 and verse 20, Christ says, "Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you." So those of Tyre and Sidon will have an opportunity for life. They will be resurrected. And clearly they will not be part of the first resurrection, those who were Christ at his coming. But all mankind will be given that chance to learn God's way.
You know, Gary, there really is hope for the dead, isn't there?
There really is.
Thanks for taking time to join us today on Good News Radio.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
If suffering and death is a result of humanity's choosing to disregard the instructions of our Creator, why did God create human beings in the first place? Why did he give us life knowing the results of free will would cause suffering and death? Why was Jesus Christ willing to die to save us from that death? We get a glimpse of God's ultimate goal at the very end of the Bible in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. Now, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, write this passage down. Read it later, because this is why God made you. The Apostle John writes about a vision he received from God concerning the future. Now listen to this. John says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" And then listen to this. "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' Christ says, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Him who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.'" God created humanity because he wants children. He gave us free choice because he wants us to choose him as our Father. This is the great purpose for humanity, to become the children of God. It is your purpose. Jesus Christ died to take upon himself the penalties of our sins. He is returning to bring the resurrection to life. The first resurrection is of the saints. The second is of all those who never knew God, and they will have an opportunity to know him and then be judged. The good news is that we will see our loved ones again. This is the hope of all those who wait for Christ's return. Today's free booklet, What Happens After Death, explores in detail everything we've been talking about today. There's also an important chapter to help you understand the grieving process. If you've lost someone you love, it's important information, and it's our free gift to you. To get your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
What happens after death? This is one of the great questions of life. What happens when we die? Is death the end of human existence and consciousness? or do we continue in some other place or state of being? Do we go to a place of everlasting reward or eternal punishment? Will we ever see our deceased loved ones again? Is there somewhere you can go to find these answers? Yes, there is. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, What Happens After Death? Find out the astonishing, true biblical teaching about life after death in our enlightening 64-page booklet. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. All material on this program is provided as a public service by the United Church of God, publishers of the Good News magazine. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.